Did you know that collagen makes up 30% of the protein in your body? It's the substance that gives structure, support, and strength to your skin, muscles, bones, and connective tissues. Collagen is what keeps our skin firm and youthful, preventing it from sagging. It also supplies amino acids that are crucial for building healthy hair and protecting hair follicles. The collagen supplement that I use and recommend to my patients is Revive by Bright Core Nutrition. Revive combines five types of collagen with hyaluronic acid and biotin to heal and nourish your skin, hair, and nails. Studies show that collagen also helps relieve joint inflammation and pain. If you're looking to heal your body from the inside out and reverse some effects of aging, Revive could be your answer. For more information and to order, visit mybrightcore.com/Hoffman. That's mybrightcore.com/Hoffman or call 888-592-9909. That's 888-592-9909. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, buy two bottles of Revive and get one free, plus a collagen sheet mask as a free gift. That's mybrightcore.com/Hoffman for Revive Multi-Collagen Protein.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Layla Mutin. I am a registered dietitian nutritionist here in New York. If you'd like to make an appointment, call the number 212-779-1744. I'd be happy to help you out and look forward to becoming a collaborator in your healthcare. Thank you for listening to these podcasts. I love your comments, questions, topics of interest. You can email me at questions@drhoffman.net. questions@drhoffman.net. not.com.net. If you've been emailing me and I'm not responding to you, it's .net. That's why it's probably not getting through. So, it's that time of year again. We are coming upon the holidays. It's the beginning of November. You're probably thinking of Thanksgiving, Friendsgiving plans. You're thinking of Christmas, of Hanukkah, of New Year's, of any other holiday that's being celebrated during this time, the winter solstice, etc. All of them, they're all wonderful. And it's wonderful to continue your traditions with your family, with your friends, with your adopted family, which are your friends. Maybe your loved ones are far away or across the country, even in different countries. Like my sister lives in Geneva, Switzerland, for example. And it makes it a little hard during the holidays. We do our best. We do virtual. We do what we can, right? But I'm not going to talk necessarily about overindulging in food. I talk about that enough, don't I? I'm a nutritionist. But what else happens during this season? It's all about overindulging, imbibing in alcohol. Now, something that I'm finding interesting during this time, or maybe it's at this time in my own life that I'm projecting out to the rest of the world, where I'm seeing more and more people, clients, patients, friends, relatives, that are really reevaluating their use of alcohol. You didn't really hear about a dry January. It became more popular, I believe, in recent years, as opposed to 25 years ago, 20 years ago. Could simply be my impression. Maybe you find it's been popular all along. Dry January, where everybody gets to get rid of all the toxic effects of alcohol, maybe box you a cleanse, all of that. That's always a great idea, especially after all the imbibing and overindulging in alcohol and in food as well. Sweets and treats, all of that. Of sleep, you know. It's nice to get back on track during a very low-key January. I'm talking about us, all of us. It's November. And if you're listening to this podcast when it is dropping, it is the first weekend in November that you're probably listening to this. And it's time to reevaluate. And as I started to say, I'm seeing more people reevaluate their use of alcohol. People are becoming tired of feeling tired in the morning. And I'm not talking about folks who are drinking heavily even. I'm talking about folks who are having maybe a glass of wine at dinner. Glass and a half, maybe two glasses, and maybe not even every night. But many do report to me that it disrupts their sleep. And it certainly does. Because alcohol does mess with our sleep. It could cause a little low blood sugar in the middle of the night, and that causes us to wake up. Because cortisol is secreted in an effort to bring that blood sugar back to normal. But that's a stress hormone, and sure, you're going to wake up. More people have been choosing, and there's more available now. There's alcohol-free wine and all of that. There are alternatives to alcohol if you're interested. And we've been finding out in the recent research that indeed a mitochondrial poison alcohol is. And our mitochondria, the powerhouse of each of our cells, the dysfunction of our mitochondria is prerequisite to all metabolic abnormalities leading to our chronic health conditions. Syndrome X, overweight, obesity, high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, cancer. All of that. So we may be touting the benefits of resveratrol, for instance. Resveratrol may be an important antioxidant for health and longevity. But should you start drinking red wine? No. But a glass of red wine a day is supposed to be good for my heart. It actually is not. And is causing more arrhythmia, which I'm going to be talking to you about in a moment, about a study that came out in the European Journal. In the European Heart Journal, in fact. There are more people being diagnosed with atrial fibrillation, with arrhythmias, right? And this study finds that excessive alcohol intake may cause heart arrhythmia. So partygoers who've had a lot of alcoholic beverages may also be getting something else that they didn't bargain for in the form of cardiac arrhythmias. Yeah, we're talking probably binge drinking, right? Now, this study was published in the European Heart Journal. It reveals some, quote, sobering findings, revealing that binge drinking can have concerning effects on our hearts, even in the young people, including clinically relevant arrhythmias. What is binge drinking? Drinking a lot of alcohol in a discrete period of time. Say you're having five or six drinks in a 2 or 3 hour period. That's a binge. You know, you're drinking a bottle of wine. That's a binge. You're doing it by yourself. So the results of this study, the Munich Brew studies, the results of this study evaluating the negative effects of alcohol really should not come as much of a surprise, being that it's one of the strongest cell toxins that exists. And this builds off of the LMU University Hospital's Munich Brew 1 study, which examined the connection between excessive alcohol consumption and cardiac arrhythmia. But only through an electrocardiogram snapshot, an ECG snapshot. The study set out to gain a more detailed picture venturing out with mobile equipment to various destinations attended by young adults in which there would be a high likelihood, quote, that many of the partygoers would reach breath alcohol concentrations of at least 1.2 grams per kilogram, said Professor Stefan Brunner. These intoxicated young adults became the participants of the Munich Brew Kid Study, which is the world's largest investigation to date of acute alcohol consumption and electrocardiogram changes in prolonged ECGs spanning several days. So, investigating alcohol and heart arrhythmia. The team evaluated data from over 200 young adult partygoers with peak blood alcohol values of up to 2.5 grams per kilogram, meaning that they had had quite a few drinks. The electrocardiogram ECG devices monitored their cardiac rhythms for a total of 48 hours, with the researchers distinguishing between the baseline, which is at hour zero, the drinking period, which is hours 1 through 5, the recovery period, which is hours 6 through 19, and two control periods corresponding to 24 hours after the drinking and recovery periods, respectively. Now, acute intake was monitored by breath alcohol concentrations, that's BAC, breath alcohol concentrations, BAC measurements during the drinking period. And while ECGs were analyzed for heart rate variability, atrial fibrillation, and other types of cardiac arrhythmias, despite the festive mood of the study participants, the quality of the ECGs was almost universally high throughout the participants, revealing that their hearts were out of sync, especially in the recovery phase. The recovery phase, called aka hangover, anyone? That's what we're talking about in the recovery phase, where your body, your heroic liver, is trying to deal with all this toxic mess. Blood sugar is out of whack. You're dehydrated. Probably that's why a headache ensues. You're very thirsty, craving all the wrong stuff. Right? So, quote, clinically relevant arrhythmias were detected in over 5% of otherwise healthy participants, explains Moritz Sinner, and primarily in the recovery phase. Alcohol intake during the drinking period led to an increasingly rapid pulse of over 100 beats per minute. Alcohol, it would seem, can profoundly affect the autonomous regulatory processes of the heart. You know, when you wake up in the middle of the night, seemingly for no good reason except that you drank the evening before, right? You're waking up, and if you notice your pulse, it's pretty rapid. That's the recovered phase. And you probably don't feel so good. You may feel kind of edgy, which is part of the reason you woke up. And your cortisol is surging in an effort to bring back up that low blood sugar. Right? So, quote, our study furnishes, from a cardiological perspective, another negative effect of acute excessive alcohol consumption on health, end quote. So listen, AFib, you know, there was another recent study done. I've talked about it. I think I've written about it. I've written about AFib a couple of times. It may be appropriate to revisit this because we're coming upon holiday season, and I'm trying to encourage you to reevaluate some things that may not be to your benefit, some behaviors that may no longer be serving you well. Or maybe you'll be a little bit more mindful where you'll enjoy the alcohol more in moderation than you normally do. Hey, every of it helps. I'm not suggesting you become a teetotaler. You do what you want. You are sovereign. God bless that. It all stays that way. Anyway, you decide. But we've been seeing more AFib. We're seeing it in these younger people, according to this study, but we've been seeing it in older people. And one reason, and a couple of doctors were quoted as saying, you know, they're retired. They're going to happy hour more often. They're drinking more than they used to before retirement. So that's something. That's a phenomenon that's going on, if you want to call it a phenomenon. I don't know. People are bored. They're doing something. They're happy hour. We need to find more hobbies, folks, in retirement. We need to think about retirement as the next chapter of something that you can jump into that you love to do. More structured days and things like that. Anyway, so we're seeing more AFib. We've been seeing more AFib in retirees, but we're seeing it in younger people, otherwise very healthy people. This has more to do with the binge drinking as well. So the study authors are saying perhaps the next time you're thinking about going out on a bender, it might be a good idea to think about your heart and maybe not drink quite as much booze. Absolutely. The safe amount of alcohol to drink is a topic of debate, with some going as far as to say there is no safe amount. And I want to say something. This is the point I was alluding to at the beginning of this podcast, that there is no safe amount. Any amount of it is still a mitochondrial poison. Any amount of it is still a neurotoxin. It is toxic to your brain. It is toxic to... The one thing most studies do agree on is that when it comes to binge drinking, excess alcohol consumption leads to a higher risk of heart disease. Absolutely. Meanwhile, the long-term harmful effects of alcohol-related cardiac arrhythmia on cardiac health remains a subject for future research. I also want to say this. People who drink regularly, and actually I have many clients and many people I know personally who have high blood pressure. And they have high blood pressure mostly due to regular drinking. They drink regularly. They don't necessarily overdo. It could be one drink a day. Maybe it's just two drinks a day. But their blood pressure goes up. I encourage them to stop drinking for several weeks. Like, you know, stop drinking for a month, see what happens. And what we often find is that the blood pressure comes plummeting down. Alcohol does increase blood pressure. Why? By causing these metabolic or abnormalities, causing more surges in cortisol. This causes our blood pressure to go up. Alcohol also causes us to retain more water. You know that puffy, you look at yourself in the mirror the next day, you see all that puffiness in your face. You see it. You see the damage that has been done, right? You see that puffiness go away when you stop drinking. For a period of even a few days, you see the difference. You start to see your cheekbones. You see your eyes a little wider, right? All of that happens. Because all this excess water is your body's attempt to, you know, flush out the poison. Because the solution to pollution is dilution. And your body is trying to do that. With the interstitial fluid, the extracellular fluid, all of that in an effort to flush it out. Because it's such a mitochondrial poison. And that's what you're seeing reflected back. When you notice any puffiness around your eyes or more, you're having a puffy face in general. Even your limbs, you notice that. Maybe even your collarbone. You're not as toned. You notice more belly. Things like that. So when people stop drinking, they notice their blood pressure come down because, they've stopped drinking. But another thing that happens when you stop drinking, you shed a few pounds. shedding that excess water, and you shed a few pounds, and when we lose even just a little bit of weight, as little as 5% of our weight, our blood pressure can come down. That's wonderful. It's a beautiful thing. So this is actually in European Heart Journal, and there's more agreement among doctors saying, you know, if you don't drink, don't start. Some people still believe it's still healthy. It's part of a Mediterranean diet. It's not the thing that's healthy about a Mediterranean diet. That is a proper Mediterranean diet, because alcohol consumption is associated with liver disease, with certain cancers. Weight gain is certainly a problem on alcohol. People who stop drinking for a couple of months, they shed all the weight they want to shed. It just happens. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful Heavy drinkers typically have high blood pressure, as I mentioned. They have triglycerides, and these are, you know, both independent risk factors for heart disease. Alcohol wipes out your potassium, your important electrolyte, and B vitamins, as well as magnesium. This is all a recipe for depression and other mood disorders, right? So when you take into account the cost of alcoholism on family life, driving, liver disease, atrial fibrillation, stroke, cancer, dementia, arrhythmias, cardiomyopathy, its romanticized reputation as a medicinal is definitively diminished. So there you go. My take on alcohol for you there, summed up. And as we're going into this holiday season, and I wish you joy in all of this, you're going to hear from me talk more about this again as we get in. But, you know, to reevaluate, to rethink. There are so many other things we could be doing. Again, there's alcohol-free wine. It's become more and more popular. Mocktails are more and more popular. Take advantage of that. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In. This is Intelligent Medicine.
I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have, and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations. You've heard me say for years that NT Factor is the breakthrough supplement that's proven to repair and renew your body's cells. That includes your immune cells, such as your T cells and white blood cells. NT Factor has been shown to contribute to a more robust and effective immune response. So now that we're in cold and flu season, NT Factor is combining with powerful antioxidants, vitamin C and D, to provide you with an immune booster bundle. Vitamin C and D help stimulate the production of white blood cells and activate immune cells, which play a key role in defending against pathogens. Together with NT Factor, they help modulate immune function, reduce inflammation, and promote overall immune health. For a limited time, buy a bottle of NT Factor with D3K2 and get a bottle of C1000 with NT Factor absolutely free. That's a savings of over $26. Just go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Save over $26 on the powerful cocktail of vitamins C and D with NT Factor at ntfactor.com.
This is Layla Mutin, registered dietitian nutritionist. I maintain a private practice and see patients regularly. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone and telehealth consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com For more information and to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.